You're listening to ISOCA Live, a podcast dedicated to connecting you with ISOCA leaders and tech industry professionals as they bring you trends, tips, and the latest news. Stay tuned as we investigate insights, provide in-depth interviews with our experts, and secure answers to your most pressing questions. Are you ready? It's time for ISOCA Live.
Hey, hello. Hello, everybody. My name is David Samuelson. I'm the CEO of ISOCA, and this is the very first LinkedIn Live from ISOCA. And we're going to be doing a number of these to share some of the insights and what's happening at ISOCA. And I hope that you'll join often. Today's discussion, we'll be sharing some behind-the-scenes information on ISOCA's digital transformation. Over the next months, I'll be talking with various ISOCA leaders and about the transformation, how it looks from each of the areas of their organization. So today, Nader Kamery is joining me. Nader is our chief product officer, and we have been transforming in our number of places, but certainly in our products, and I look forward to having Nader to chat with today.
So I'm Nader Kamery. I'm the chief product officer at ISOCA, as David mentioned, and basically been here for about 2 years. Prior to that, spent all my career in the education, publishing, education technology space, basically building solutions for anyone from early on in school to higher education, and now working in corporate learning. So been quite an interesting experience, and really, really excited and pleased to be at ISOCA, where I feel we're doing some really innovative things.
Great. Well, you know, all of you out there know that almost every company in the world has been going through some sort of digital transformation, partly as a result of COVID, but even more so the result of the pace of change that technology brings to our lives, which is one of the reasons it's so important to have all of you out there helping to build the kind of digital trust that's necessary for us to use technology safely and really promote the positive potential of technology, which is, of course, our motto. So, Nader, we've been you and I have been working together now for a while, and it's we're doing our own digital transformation. What are some of the most important factors that have guided the decisions and the directions that you've made in terms of our digital transformation for our product development?
Absolutely, David. So I think one of the main things is just scalability. So we needed to really move to more unified platforms and unified processes and make sure that we can actually build the foundation that would allow us to scale and start developing products more quickly. And then also really thinking about products and services that could scale globally. So making sure that our technology would support translation capabilities, multiple language user interfaces, things of that nature. Even pre-COVID, I know COVID kind of forced us to accelerate things a little bit, but we were really planning on doing a lot of things and started doing a lot of things to really reach those objectives. So moving to a single platform, as I mentioned, and starting to build products on that platform.
Great. So with those priorities in mind, what are some of the biggest updates and improvements that your team has made, and more particular, how it benefits our members and our customers?
Absolutely. So the first thing we did was actually some ethnographic research, where we basically went and looked at all of our members and where they come from, the different regions of the globe, and then started looking at the IT professional just as a persona. So moving back all the way down to middle school and early on, like what makes you get into a career in IT? And then how does that progress through university and then later on through your career from entry level to retirement? And out of that, we got some insights around some big gaps in our products. So for example, we have all these wonderful certifications, which hundreds of thousands of people all over the world have these certifications, and but they all service the middle sector, the people who are mid-level professionals to higher-level professionals who have a lot of experience. We didn't really have much for those starting out a career in IT. So a lot of the products that we've built on the new platform now are really about bringing that younger generation, that new generation, and also people from other industries into IT, And then we wanted to do that in a way that we could actually, as opposed to requiring that experience, test them for their skills in a live environment. So the platforms that we're building have that lab capability so that you can actually test the performance and make sure that the skills are not just things they memorize out of a book, but things they can apply in the workforce. So a lot of our new products, like our new ITCA certification, which is the Information Technology Certified Associate, it's focused on that entry level. Then we also have an Emerging Technology certification, also focused on bringing new people into the field. And then our Privacy certification, which just launched the exam for CDPSI, which is focused on the privacy technologist. So we're really trying to expand beyond our original scope and look at a more holistic view of information technology.
Great. Well, you know, every time you do any kind of transformation, there's a lot of change management. And I've spent a lot of my career prior to Isaka, as you have also, Nader, in the learning space. And, you know, the learning industry went through a huge transformation moving to online. Almost, you know, all learning is done with some kind of online component these days. And that transformation often is like a format change. You'll sometimes think of, you know, television or even this internet video connection that we have here today is brand new to us. So how do we use this in the way we did old things? You know, think you could either think textbooks versus technology, or you could think, you know, theater versus television. I mean, there are lots of analogies where the medium has changed, and so there's a lot of discovery and pain points. So what are some of the pain points that you think we've gone through trying to move to a more modern, you know, architecture and more modern delivery for some of our products and services?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say a few things. One, that, you know, when you're building products like this and you are trying to do these really full scale, large solutions, a lot of times you have to rely on partnerships and vendors and other technologies that plug into your technology. So it's a pain point in the sense that you have to do it, but it's one that you overcome, which is just the level of integration that needs to happen to make sure that the user experience is seamless and fluid. And then, you know, a lot of times you are expecting a certain set of requirements and then working with a vendor, sometimes those requirements aren't met. So it's just really figuring out how to navigate that and move beyond that and still deliver that user experience that your community is expecting. Also, mm-hmm. I would just say, David, the other big thing, and this is actually very akin to what is happening in learning, you can't move digital immediately, right? It still has to be multimodal. You still have different learning styles. You have different capabilities, different even internet access throughout the world. Mm-hmm. So everything can't just even though sometimes you want to, everything can't just be turned off and on with a switch. You have to really offer many different solutions for a long period of time.
Yeah, it's hard to train an old dog new tricks sometimes. And we all get used to, you know, how we do things. Sometimes, you know, there's still a lot of research that says if you write something down that you hear, you'll learn it better. Well, that requires a piece of paper and a pencil to do that. And I think that matters. But on the other hand, you know, as adult learners, we tend to have very busy lives. We're out of school, we're in the workplace, but we still are it's almost a demand that we can learn just in time or when we need it or as we need it. So what do you think can you share some of our thinking about how we become more accessible in more ways as we think about the future in the way that learning, you know, learning has gone? So some of it's around perform, you know, we learn as we perform, we show what we know, we're using different techniques. Sometimes, you know, just our phone is enough to learn something on, and sometimes we need to sit down in a classroom. Can you just talk about your thoughts and about the future?
Well, learning really is a science. I mean, it needs to be studied, it needs to be researched. And I think, you know, really understanding your demographics and who you're serving and who you're trying to serve, what audiences are you trying to reach, is extremely important. And then from that, you start developing the solutions. So for us, I mean, we still feel like print and narrative content has a place, but we really want, and it's more about what companies are requiring in terms of skill sets. We really want to make sure that people can apply skills. So in schooling, this is called project-based learning, where basically, as opposed to just reading about a topic and then, you know, answering a bunch of questions, you're actually put into a project and you actually need to show that you know what you're doing and you're capable of accomplishing the task. So we're feeling that companies are requiring more of this because typically they hire people, then they have to train them all over again. So we'd rather help with that and get people up to speed with the certain skills using project-based learning, using performance-based learning like labs and such. But then also make learning interesting and fun. So bringing, you know, gamification's kind of become a buzzword, but it's really about bringing in competition into things. I mean, we're in cybersecurity, hackathons, things of that nature, you know, red team, blue team. Those are the types of things we want to get involved in because they're exciting and they're interesting and they make learning fun. So it's just, it'll continue to evolve. And the other big thing is visual. So we're building a studio. David, this is your background and your interest. And so we're building a studio at ISAPA to start developing more video content. Even this right here, it's a lot easier to learn and get insight from conversations like this than simply reading a bunch of papers or you know, a bunch of pages.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned sort of gamification. It is an overused term, but actually the gaming industry has been developing learning technologies for decades. You know, if you think about one of the first video games was the Microsoft Flight Simulator, and that was just simulating flying an aircraft, you know, and a lot of that technology came out of the Department of Defense and other technologies, and they've been using sort of simulation and gamification for many, many years, and there's tons of research. One of my last jobs at Pearson was really looking at the gaming industry and what some of that technology could do to actually enhance the kind of teaching and learning that we do. And that industry is larger, if you can believe this, than the music and the movie industry combined in terms of the amount of investment, the amount of dollars worldwide. And so the amount of technology that's being developed to do that kind of simulation and performance-based practice and learning is phenomenal. And so, you know, we're, Nader and I are both eager to kind of explore how those continue to enhance as adults how we can learn and how we can be motivated and energized and engaged to learn. And that's part of this digital transformation. We have to walk before we can run, but it's very important that we you know, explore and are able to have modern platforms that allow for that. So speaking about, you know, kind of emerging technology and emerging research, we have a lot of new technologies in our professions that are emerging, and we've just started a new credential. Could you talk a little bit about our emerging technology credential, Nader?
Yes, absolutely. So Certified in Emerging Technology is actually a new credential that just launched this month, actually, or actually in April, late April. But it is a stackable certification. So this is a new thing for us. We did it with the ITCA, which is the Information Technology Certified Associate. Now we're doing it with CET, which is a Certified in Emerging Technology. So a stackable certification is actually where you take the ability to take a bunch of different certificates and put them together. And once you actually have completed all those certificates, you now have a certification. So the Certified in Emerging Technology one is made up of four certificates. So you have cloud computing, you have IoT, artificial intelligence, and blockchain. Now we might add to that suite later, but right now those are the four, and you ultimately are learning about each of those topic areas in a performance-based setting. And then you, once you get all four certificates, you have that certification. So we're excited about this. It is something that came out of a lot of the conversations we've been having with members and people within the IT community. And it also comes on the heels of our blockchain framework, which we launched, and it's very popular as well.
That's right. And we just did a new study coming out this month. Do you have any insights you can share, any sneak peeks you can talk about?
Yes. That? Absolutely. So we do this research every year. And basically what we got out of this study is we found that, you know, company leaders, they're moderately receptive right now to emerging technologies. They know it's coming. They are really interested in it. And I think the problem, though, is that they aren't yet investing enough in their people in terms of determining what areas they need to improve the skill sets in. They know that they have to be trained. They're just not doing it quite yet. And the goal is to get there fairly soon. But all the areas that they're looking at are the cloud-related technologies. That's first and foremost. And I don't would even say that's probably not even an emerging technology anymore since it's so prevalent. But then artificial intelligence and blockchain are definitely on their radar as well. So people are very optimistic about emerging technology and how it's going to impact their careers. And they feel that, you know, it's something they need to train more for and are eager to get going on.
I think one of the unique things about Isaka is that we are a community of a passionate community of practitioners. And what that does is help us keep pulse on what's changing in our professions that we're serving. And so we get firsthand information from all of you who are out there joining us today about what's important. But one thing that's changed in the 50-year history of Isaka is just the pace of change. So we have to be more ready to learn new skills or add on new skills, such as these emerging technologies, and become experts sometimes overnight in order to really be able to do our jobs well. And so I think part of what Isaka is trying to do is to improve that feedback loop and that input loop so that we're aware of what's coming down the road, and then have the systems, the learning systems and the sort of the one platform you talked about to be able to pivot pretty quickly. And I think that's going to be an important aspect of our ability to respond. And I think it, you know, I want to make a point, let you comment on this also, but we've for years been able to help individuals be ready for the jobs that they're seeking for or the jobs that they're trying to do. But now we're trying to help those same members as leaders in their workplace, right? As the people looking for the talent that they need or wanting to train the people that work for them. So can you talk a little bit about how we're thinking about, you know, the workplace or the enterprise and how, you know, learning about these emerging technologies or these new activities or even reaching down to the early generations that we're reaching down to, how is that helping our other members who might be the leaders who are requiring those skills?
Sure. So it's multifaceted. In one sense, you know, we've been really focused on certifying individuals and assessing individuals. Where we're shifting now is really also looking at organizations and how can we help organizations assess their gaps. So there are all these frameworks, many that we publish, frameworks that are well adopted like ISO and NIST and such within the industry. And we want to look at those frameworks, different regulations, and then help organizations determine where their gaps are through automated assessments, AI, things of that nature, so that they can figure out where their weak points are, whether it comes to cybersecurity, data protection, risk, any of those different areas. And then from there, we can start recommending training opportunities, learning opportunities, potentially service providers, and really help kind of start connecting everything. Because as you mentioned, all these people that we certify, they're hiring managers within their companies. There's a skills gap. They know that it's hard to find talent, especially in certain areas like cybersecurity. So how can we allow them to figure out where those gaps are? And then how can we work upstream with universities, with community organizations, with the chapters, and cultivate a pipeline of qualified candidates that those ISACA members, the hiring managers, can then pull from? So really trying to lift up the entire industry in IT to improve the skills gap and really make sure that we have enough skilled professionals doing the work that we need to be doing.
Great. Well, thanks for that, Nader. There's a lot to talk about in product technology and new opportunities. And I see a lot of questions coming in. You know, some of the questions have to do with, you know, how all these things, you know, play together and, you know, multiple certifications, et cetera. We're not only looking at what products are missing, but how we deliver those products. So as we think about the future, we're certainly thinking about if you already have multiple certifications from Isaka, what does it mean to do an add-on certificate in blockchain, for example, and then how do we coordinate that? And that's just not just talking about the content, but also the pricing and delivery and the understanding of that. So we don't have all the answers to that, but we're certainly looking at those things. Also, some of these early certifications we've talked about, they're smaller certificates that stack up. And so they're not quite as big as our, like a CISA certification, but we're trying to kind of build a structure that allows for that. So we really appreciate any input and comments that you might have. But while we wait for another question, do you have any looking ahead kind of thoughts, Nader, about adult learning and how Isaka's gonna be thinking about how we address those needs?
Yeah, I mean, we're learning just like everyone else. So we'll keep looking at the latest trends, what's working, what's not working, look at the data from our own solutions and continue to evolve and improve based on that. That's the beauty of digital products, is that you actually get tremendous insight from the utility and use of those products. And hopefully we'll continue to improve based on that, David.
That's right. It's all about listening. And, you know, Charles made a point earlier, I noticed in the comments, that we all of us are a little bit closer, even though we're further apart. You know, we're probably 15 miles away from each other, but we can talk to each other directly, Nader. And we've got people from probably now 40 countries sharing this little chat with us today. So I really appreciate that everyone took the time to tune in. And we are going to be doing more of these. And so if you have any comments of topics that you'd like to hear, my intention is to be sort of the host and introduce you to some of the leadership team and the thought leaders that we have at Isaka, but also out there in the world, some of you, and be able to do kind of a little bit of a talk show here on LinkedIn Live and share some of this with each other. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are some questions that are coming in if you'd like me to...
Sure, go ahead.
So actually, Christopher Hidalgo asked, was the CSX fundamentals a direct transfer to the IT CA, the IT Certified Associate? So it is, actually. So we decided to take the cybersecurity fundamentals exam that we had before the certificate and make it one of the components of the Information Technology Certified Associate. So if you have that, you already have a head start into that certification. And you can now just focus on the other four areas. Then another question from Alvin, for emerging technology certification, does that mean four tests? So yes, it does. But I want you to keep in mind, these are not CISA exams, as David mentioned. It's not like a full-on CISM or CISA or CRISC, which is a really robust and difficult exam. They're one, a little more entry level, and then two, they're more lab based, and there is a knowledge check in there, but there are a lot, I would say, more low stakes type of exams because they're certificates than our other certifications. And another question from Esther, will there be an IoT focus? Yes, so part of emerging technology, one of the certificates is actually Internet of Things, IoT. So that is definitely part of what that certification is all about. So let's see, anything else coming in?
Yeah, there's been a lot of questions and Kristen's been answering some of them and keeping us posted. But part of what we're trying to do is just generate some dialogue here. Well, here's another one from Roy. What are your thoughts about the Isaka Certified Member Learning and Understanding Python Scripting and PKI Admin for Digital Transformation?
Well, I'm sure there are people on my team that would answer that really, really well. I'm not one of them, but we can definitely get back to you, Roy.
Yeah, there. You know, the all of the scripting languages and part of the digital transformation, things are changing pretty rapidly. And so, just keeping one of the great things about having practitioners like you, Roy, out there is making sure that we address those technical questions, as well as the sort of the global, you know, framework and standards questions in the work that we do. So anyway, it's very great to be with all of you today. Want to keep this short, so it's something that you can pass along to your friends. But stay tuned, we're going to be doing this regularly. I'm really enjoying the ability to kind of say hi to all of you really quickly and to see your names pop up in the chat. And it is a whole new world. As Charles said, we're closer in many ways than we are apart. So thanks for joining this global event on LinkedIn Live from Isaka. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Isaka Live, an Isaka podcast.